like hearing loss. To learn how to protect your hearing, visit ASHA.org.
You've probably heard about heart disease, but did you know that it's the number one killer of women nationwide? Heart disease claims more lives each year than breast cancer, lung cancer, or strokes combined. But there are steps you can take to protect yourself against it. For more information on how you can prevent heart disease, contact your local American Heart Association or visit their website at www.americanheart.org.
Here again, The Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Torture. Does it ever make sense? Is it ever effective? We know it's been used against American GIs. We know that America has used techniques that, well, many people consider torture. Some just call enhanced interrogation techniques. But now memos have come out to show that we ourselves have done it. Well, maybe sometimes it makes sense. Some would argue if it prevents a more awful attack, it's the right thing to do. When is it the right thing to do, if ever? Should it ever be legal? And what's it like to be tortured? I've invited a guest who has been tortured, not by America, to be sure, but by the Filipino government. And I want to try to learn from his experience. His name is Orlando Chizon. Orlando, welcome to the Inside Scoop. So, all these awful treatments that the government was giving you, were they trying to get information from you?
Yes, yes, they were trying to get information.
What did they want to know?
I was connected with the Church Social Action Program. And especially by that time, there were many church people, including lay workers, who were very active in protesting against the martial law as immoral.
So the government wanted names from you?
They wanted names, they wanted addresses of offices, and churches, parish churches,
and
offices that were connected with the protests against the martial law.
And you mentioned mock executions. Tell me some of the other ways that they mistreated
the what?
You mentioned the mock execution.
The mock execution.
Tell me some other ways in which they mistreated you over the course of your 4 years.
Well, solitary confinement.
Okay.
Yeah, I was in solitary confinement The first 6 weeks I was arrested. I was in a military camp. They took me to a military camp and blindfolded, hogtied all the time, and I had no contact at all with my friends, relatives. Nobody knew where I was, but of course, my friends knew that I was missing,
sure.
So they started asking and started going to the military offices.
Were you beaten? Were you physically
yes,
abused?
Yes, I was abused.
You were hit?
Yes.
Slapped?
Yeah.
Did they
insulted? Yes.
Yeah. But physically, they
yes,
they
physically,
hit you.
Yeah. Actually, that was the least painful thing actually for
really?
Me. Oh yes,
the physical abuse was the least
painful experience.
What was the most painful?
The most painful was the mock execution.
Sure.
The insults.
The insults were more painful than the physical abuse.
Well, the insults, you were insulted all the time. All right. And made to feel in many, many ways that you were not a human being.
Now, did you answer their questions? Did you give names?
I made up names. I made up addresses. And
did you give some real names mixed in with the made-up names or only made-up
names? I gave some real names of people whom I knew had nothing to do at all.
Okay.
With
perhaps Marcos supporters, you
yeah,
had names of them.
No. I made up names, some of the names I manufactured, some of the places I manufactured. Sometimes I made up real names. The most painful thing really was, in the 4 years that I was in prison, I was living really under terror. Because any time of the day or night, anyone in the detention could be taken out.
Taken out and killed.
Taken out to be killed, or taken out to be interrogated, or taken out to be made as a guide in the military operations. And there were times when I saw people not coming back there.
So what did they promise they would treat you better if you gave some names?
Sometimes they would play. I knew they would be playing games. I knew.
And yet you were determined to die rather than to give the names of your friends and colleagues opposing the government.
It
was worth it to you because to oppose this repressive regime.
Yeah.
I know you know of all the discussion that has come out regarding what the United States has done. Some to some distinctly awful people, we are led to believe that they haven't had trials, but I at least it seems likely to be true that Khalid Sheikh Mohammed and others like him may have been involved in September 11. We also, it's been found and discovered, have tortured innocent people as well. People that we believed were bad people, but turns out we're not. Not at all. Let's deal with, it's easy to say, morally, legally, that torturing innocent people is wrong. That's easy, of course. That's horrific. That's awful. But some conservatives argue that torturing a man like Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, torturing a person who is in Al-Qaeda, torturing someone who perhaps could be planning a terrorist attack against the United States, that in some limited cases, torture is morally justified. How would you respond to that?
I am speaking for survivors of torture, members of TASC, Torture Abolition Survivor Support Coalition.
Torture Abolition Survivor.
And Survivor Support Coalition International. Mm-hmm. And our stand has always been that torture was never right. It's never justified. And I think the first question that you asked me, Mark, whether it works, I think is a wrong question. Because for us, it is the United States signed and ratified a convention against torture as a democratic civilized society, and we have domestic laws also outlawing torture.
Right.
And our stand is if there were government personnel involved in torture, then the case should be investigated. And it's against the law. That's our stand.
Well, and you make a good point. Whether or not it's effective.
Whether or not it's effective.
They broke the law.
Yeah.
And if you believe in the rule of law, you believe that people who break the law should be prosecuted.
Exactly. And if that's for us who come from other countries, that is one of the biggest attractions of living in the United States and looking up to the American people, that this is a country that follows the rule of law, not the rule of men.
Let me ask you this.
And this is what we are doing with regards to torture is a test. It is a test for our government and for our society, whether we're truly a nation of laws.
Now, there are some that argue that we should change those laws, that we could amend, we could leave the Geneva Convention, we could become a nation who says out loud, we torture, and it's part of our law, it's part of our, I mean, it could be legal, and we do so only in the most extreme cases and only where it could save lives. I assume you would be opposed to such a change in the law.
Of course, Congress or the President, I don't know how that could be done, could always do that.
Right. Why?
With the approval of the American people, I mean, that should be brought before.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a big difference between saying we're going to do this.
Yes.
Some have even suggested if you want to torture, you could go to a court, a neutral magistrate, get a torture warrant and make it all out there,
exactly.
For everyone to see.
But let us not forget that if Congress or the President, with approval of the American people, let's say that there is an approval that if it's done, such a law is passed disregarding the Geneva Conventions or the Convention
We'd
Against Torture.
We'd have to pull out of the Geneva Convention
That's
and the
right.
Convention Against Torture.
Then
we have to join.
What we are doing, Mark, right. is putting ourselves outside of something that has been agreed by the majority of nations, civilized and democratic nations. The Convention Against Torture, the Geneva Convention, right, have been agreed upon by nations because of our realizing the history of wars and genocide and suffering that the human race has gone through all these years. And so these instruments are agreed upon to prevent these catastrophes that humanity suffered the previous years.
Now,
and so if
yeah.
we decide bringing our country outside these conventions, this agreement, then I don't know.
Maybe a lot of people will respect America a lot less.
Oh, yes.
Now,
and some of us might start thinking about going somewhere else.
Now, our former vice president, Dick Cheney, the vice president
yeah.
before now, he argues that it should remain illegal, but we should never define anything as torture. We should say torture is illegal, torture is wrong, but anytime we want to use these harsh techniques, we simply won't call it torture. We'll call it something else. And as long as no one knows about it, as long as the public doesn't learn about it, it can't hurt us. How can people think America or less if we simply lie or don't disclose that we're doing these things? Sort of say we practice the law, but then underneath do whatever we want.
But then what will happen if that is done is that you'll leave rank and file military people confused and without direction.
Because and they don't know whether to follow the law or to follow the leader.
Exactly. And one of the a pride of the United States military has been the fact that the U.S. military respects the Geneva Convention.
And respects the law. When we come back, I want to ask you specifically, who should be prosecuted? Should it be the people who did the torture? Should it be the lawyers who justified the torture? Should it be the president, the vice president of the United States who ordered the torture, or all of them? If you want to call in, 888-488-MARK. Back after this.
I need a job.
Necesito trabajo.
I would like to speak English better.
Me gustaría hablar inglés mejor.
I want to be a U.S. citizen.
Quisiera ser ciudadano de los Estados Unidos.
For over 35 years.
Por más de 35 años.
The Hispanic Committee of Virginia has been serving our community.
El Comité Hispano de Virginia ha estado sirviendo a nuestra comunidad.
Job training and placement.
Capacitación, ayuda para conseguir trabajo.
Education for children and adults.
Educación para niños y adultos.
Immigration, naturalization, and medical referrals.
Ayuda para los procesos de inmigración y naturalización y orientación sobre médicos
are a small part of what we do.
Son solo una pequeña parte de lo que hacemos.
For help, information, or to volunteer.
Para ayuda, información o para ofrecerse como voluntario.
Contact the Hispanic Committee of Virginia.
Comuníquese con el Comité Hispano de Virginia.
Helping everyone participate more fully in American society.
Ayudando a todos a participar plenamente en la sociedad norteamericana.
Would you notice if you were missing half your kidney function? According to the National Kidney Foundation, 20 million people have chronic kidney disease, and 20 million more may be at risk and not even know it. Anyone with high blood pressure, diabetes, or family history of chronic kidney disease is at risk. Early diagnosis is vitally important. To get the whole story, talk to your doctor and visit the National Kidney Foundation at kidney.org or call for a free brochure. Because when it comes to chronic kidney disease, you might not know the half of it.
I need a job.
Necesito trabajo.
I would like to speak English better.
Me gustaría hablar inglés mejor.
I want to be a U.S. citizen.
Quisiera ser ciudadano de los Estados Unidos.
For over 35 years.
Por más de 35 años.
The Hispanic Committee of Virginia has been serving our community.
El Comité Hispano de Virginia ha estado sirviendo a nuestra comunidad.
Job training and placement.
Capacitación, ayuda para conseguir trabajo.
Education.
Here again, The Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Torture, whether it's effective, whether it's moral, whether it's legal, and whether or not it should be exposed when the United States does it or any other person does it. I'm talking with a survivor of torture. His name is Orlando Tizon. He was tortured by the Marcos government in the Philippines. And he's commenting on the newly issued memos that show that we in the United States, that our officials, ordered torture. Mr. Tizon, the president and the vice president, we now know, expressly ordered this torture. This wasn't, the president told us at Abu Ghraib that these were just renegade people. The president lied to us. That's simply false. We now know that it came from the very top. It came from George Bush. It came from Dick Cheney. It came from Condoleezza Rice, all the way down through the lawyers to the individuals who did this. Should they be prosecuted for violating the Geneva Convention? And if so, who? Should it go all the way up to the President of the United States?
Well, that's why the first step really is to investigate. And we insist on that. We're not after punishing people. But we want the truth to be out. And we want American people to know the full truth of what happened. Why these things happened. And that's really important. So it depends, based on the results of the investigation, who should be investigated? I mean, who should be prosecuted? And what kind of prosecution?
Prosecution.
Yeah.
Now,
whether criminal prosecution? I mean, that remains to be seen based on the results of the investigation. But for me personally, I certainly feel for rank and file people who were involved. Like, for example, think about Lindy England.
Right.
Who was...
Right, Lindy England, the West Virginia young woman. She was 18 years old.
Yeah, who was in the Abu Ghraib.
Yes.
And she was sentenced to 3 years.
Right.
I mean, and if I were in her shoes, being in jail for 3 years for that, and then seeing other people go free, I mean, that's... I mean, it doesn't make sense for me.
It doesn't make sense. I mean, here is this 18-year-old, whether we want to call her a girl or a woman, she's right on the cusp of adulthood, being ordered to do certain things. She does what she's ordered to do, and she's prosecuted, and no one above her is prosecuted. It does seem very strange.
Yeah.
And yet, there's a number of problems. One is that, this was everything we've learned from these memos shows that this came from the highest levels. One of the interesting things in the United States prior to the 1970s, you had the CIA and they did all kinds of torture. But they didn't tell the people at the top. They simply did it, and then when they were caught, they were prosecuted, and the President of the United States could say, "Oh, I didn't know," and we couldn't tell whether he knew or not.
Mm-hmm.
George Tenet, the head of the CIA, knew that if they underwent, they did torture, that the CIA would be prosecuted. So he tried to protect his people by seeking approval from the very, very top. You're right, we need full investigation. We don't know all the information yet, but we know a lot. And it does appear that this came from the highest officials in the American government, at least as high as Dick Cheney. I mean, the number two, Vice President of the United States, probably went up to George Bush as well. Should the Vice President of the United States, if he ordered torture, be prosecuted?
Based on the evidence, I mean, whoever in the higher-ups was responsible, I think, should be prosecuted. And I think that's why it's the investigation is so important, because we want to know where the main responsibility falls and who should be prosecuted for that responsibility. I mean, and if we're talking of a retribution, then it should be based on the weight, the culpability of the whole event that put it through. I mean, lawyers, certainly there were lawyers responsible for that, especially lawyers in the Office of Legal Counsel.
John Yoo, Stephen Bybee, who's currently a judge.
Yeah.
He's, by the way, he's a judge on the Ninth Circuit, the Court of Appeals, the second highest federal court underneath the Supreme Court. Should he be impeached and removed from office, Jay Bybee, for writing these memos?
Well, let him have his say. I mean,
he can't have his say unless you actually bring him up for an impeachment and bring charges, and then he would, of course, have the right to defend himself.
And let them have the chance to defend themselves, to justify what they did.
Now, President Obama, while making clear that he wants to obey the rule of law, has also said that in general he wants to move forward and not look backward. The United States faces a number of very difficult problems right now. We have a terrific economic recession. We have health care problems. We have lots of crises abroad. Pakistan, indeed, seems to be under danger of being taken over by the Taliban. Pakistan is a nuclear nation. We have ongoing wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. And President Obama fears that if there is an investigation, if there is a commission, if we look into these things, that any bipartisanness, any Republicans and Democrats working together to solve problems like the economy, the environment, energy, and health care will fall by the wayside because Republicans will be so upset at prosecuting a former president that they simply won't agree to cooperate in any way with moving America forward. So he's very concerned about these prosecutions. What's your view?
I can understand that concern, and I understand that we're facing really huge problems right now, especially in the economy. At the same time, I don't think we can really move forward unless this is cleared up with the American people and with the international community.
Well, he has banned torture for the future, President Obama. He said that from this day forward, we won't do the waterboarding or the walling or the slapping or the stress positions. He's banned all those things for the future. It's still important to go back and check what happened in the past.
Yes, but then people committed crimes, and then we're just saying, okay, let them go. What message are we telling the American people and the world? I mean, all these past 8 years, people have been complaining about what is going on, a lot of secrets being done, and a lot of secrets going on, a lot of decisions being made behind their back, and then now the whole mess is up. People are mad. And so if we say, all right, these people were guilty of crimes, okay, that's it. I mean, what message are we telling the world? What message are we telling the American people? I mean, we're not moving forward that way.
I also think that
we're getting stuck.
Right. Even if President Obama bans torture, which he has, a future president, a future Congress could do the exact same thing. If people aren't prosecuted, then people get the lesson that some presidents say we stopped torture. George Bush said we didn't torture too. I mean, in essence, Obama's policy on paper, on the law, is the same as George Bush's policy. Both say they don't torture. So we say, well, President Obama, we believe you, and President Bush, well, you're a liar, but if we don't prosecute anyone, then there's really no incentive to go after it. I want to give out the numbers again. It's 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. And I'd like to read some comments on the blog. If you want to write on the blog, if you have a comment, feel free to do so. Go to radioinsidescoop.com, and if you want to write better than call, you can do that. This is a comment from a woman who lists her name as Mad Fuke. She writes, I'm so sick of the right wing. Let's show this up on the screen if we can. I'm so sick of the right wing trying to defend torture as a good action. She goes on to say, I'm trying to make it bigger for you so you can read. How can anyone with any moral values at all condone torture? The sick reasoning that they do it holds no value. Torture is torture whether it is the enemy or us, and our forefathers must be rolling over in their graves to see how far down our society has fallen. I'm especially bewildered by the so-called Christians with this attitude. Who do they follow? It certainly isn't Christ's example. He was the ultimate peacemaker. She goes on to say, why am I surprised when the bunch that brought us torture also brought us treason in the form of outing a U.S. spy for no good reason? Who knows how many deaths that caused? Robert writes, Cheney handed out the torture orders from the memos written to Abu Ghraib. I have no idea how a low-level justice employee as John Yoo had the authority to write the memos he authored. Although it's distasteful to learn more and more of this information, it has to be done. But we cannot end with simply public dirty laundering. Someone has to be found guilty and serve time for a criminal offense. The offense is war crimes. But another writer, a woman by the name of Eileen, argues the other way. She says that Guantanamo Bay is a joke to the Arab world. They are laughing their sleeves at you. They are given food at Guantanamo. The radical Muslim prisoners are given prayer mats and clothes. And that while radical Muslims beat, starve, and leave their prisoners on the floor with nothing. She goes on to say that Guantanamo prisoners are allowed to walk about, and that if you show weakness, Eileen writes, the Muslim world has no respect for you. Let me take Eileen's point, if I could, Orlando. clearly our enemies, Al-Qaeda, the people who murdered 3,000 innocent Americans, countries such as Taliban-ruled Afghanistan, current countries today, like North Korea or Iran, they brutally torture and mistreat people. They are certainly countries that seek to harm the United States and Americans all over the world. Eileen argues that we have to use these same techniques to fight against these awful enemies. How do you respond?
I think that you cannot win against terrorism if you use the instruments of terror yourself. And torture is an instrument of terror.
Now, one of the things...
We have become a joke even to people outside the world, and Eileen was mentioning certain Muslims, because precisely we don't follow the law. We have become a joke to the world because of that.
Now, Vice President Cheney argues that if we tell people that we exactly what we do, if we let people know about these techniques, waterboarding and so forth, that our enemies will be able to train and prepare themselves and avoid the torture. And therefore, we should never let them know exactly what interrogation techniques we're using.
When people are prepared to die, they're prepared for the worst, and they know what happens when people are captured by their enemies. So they're prepared for whatever consequences.
And
so they know.
And in your individual case, even though you were beaten, even though they gave you mock executions, you still didn't give the names of real people, the people that they wanted to find out about.
Yeah. And I always knew that they could kill me if they wanted. And that was part of living in terror. Because the torturers would tell me, we can do with you what we want. We can kill you if we want and when we want.
So at the end of the day, as much as they mistreated you, they didn't learn any useful information from you.
Yes.
When we come back, I want to ask about someone with perhaps not as strong convictions as Mr. Tizong. There are people who perhaps cannot withstand torture and might convey the names of people. Would that then make it justified? Toll-free number, 888-48-MARK, 888-488-6275. Back after this.
I helped turn my child's public school into a whole new kind of school. One with a curriculum that really motivates kids. One that has extended hours, 6 days a week, year-round. With loads of academic, cultural, and recreational activities. One that has support services, like medical and dental, right there. A school where parents' involvement is encouraged. Where teachers have more time to teach. And students are excited about learning. There's just one problem. My child doesn't ever want to come home. You can help turn your school into a community school for excellence. find out how. Call 1-877-LOVE-TO-LEARN.
It's coming. Right to your neighborhood. And when it does, you may be surprised. It's your Social Security statement of your benefits, and it's going to help you plan your financial future. Your benefit statement will tell you how much Social Security you're eligible to receive and when you'll get it. Then you'll know how much you need to save for retirement, because that's coming too. The future is in your hands. Choose to save.
The toxic fumes from this meth lab are seeping into Jamie's sinus cavity. Ammonia vapors invade her throat. Toxic gases fill her lungs. Jamie's body is deteriorating. And she doesn't even know it.
Jamie, dinner.
So, who has the drug problem now? Find out how meth affects you at drugfree.org/meth.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. We're discussing torture. As my guest, Orlando Tizone, who's from Torture Abolition and Survivors Support Coalition International, which I know is TASSC.org, and you can find out more information about that.
That's right.
He himself is someone who has survived torture. And we've learned that all the problems with torture, it makes America less of a moral force in the world, but also it's often simply not very effective. Totally apart from it being completely illegal in the United States, a lot of times it leads to more Americans being tortured. It also, sometimes, in some cases, we now know that foreign intelligence agencies have even refused to give us the locations of people we suspect to be terrorists, for fear that they would be implicated in our illegal torture. You have a friendly government, maybe in Western Europe, that wants to help the United States, but their laws prohibit torture, and they take their laws seriously, even if we don't take our laws seriously, so they won't help us to fight the terrorists, someone we suspect to be a terrorist, because they don't want to be involved in torture. We've also found out that many of the prisoners that we did torture ended up giving a lot of the same information that Mr. Tizone gave. They would give false information. Abu Zubaydah, for example, led us on all kinds of leads that cost us millions of dollars that went nowhere. Or they would tell us things that they thought we already knew, people who had already been mentioned. The Washington Post, for example, reports that they would tell us about Jose Padilla after he was already arrested, something that wasn't very helpful. But there's always the hypothetical example given, and it's the one that I hear every time I discuss with a conservative who supports torture. And they give it the ticking time bomb. Some call it the Jack Bauer 24 moment. And they say, all right, but you have a terrorist. And he says, I have put a bomb. Let's make it the worst possible example, a nuclear weapon that could kill millions of people. And he knows where the weapon is, and he's not going to tell you where it is. This case, surely, they argue, above all, justifies torture. Orlando?
It is really a false hypothesis, Mark. I mean, you can imagine all kinds of situations, but in the real world, when you start using torture as a policy, then it leads to other worse things and worse situations. The ticking time bomb is really a false hypothesis. Because if indeed someone knows about a plan and is ready to give up his life, you can't extract that information that way.
I've often wondered whether sodium pentothal or something like that, which I don't think is torture. You know, the truth serum.
It is torture.
You think that is torture too?
It is torture.
Because that's just an injection.
It was used on me.
Did it?
I was not injected, but I drank coffee laced with some kind of a drug.
And it didn't help either. It didn't make you give information.
It made me dizzy. That's when I realized that I had drunk something some drug, and then started interrogating me. And
you didn't give any other information?
I didn't know what they were asking. I tried to keep control of my mind, but then after about 2 hours of interrogation, I collapsed.
Just fell down. You know, one of the things I do find interesting is we know that one interrogation technique that actually worked very well was trickery, deception. There was a very famous case where Americans dressed up as Saudi Arabians in the robes, and they were Americans who looked like they could be Saudis, and they asked questions with a Saudi accent. And in that case, they actually got some useful information. They didn't harm the prisoner. They didn't touch the prisoner. They simply tricked the prisoner and got a lot of information that way. I assume you wouldn't have any problem with deception as an interrogation technique.
I would not have that, I mean, that way. As long as there's no mental or physical pain. But for example, deception, like threatening this person that his wife would be raped, or his daughter would be raped.
Right. That's different.
I mean, that is different.
No, that's clearly mental cruelty.
Yeah.
That's something that.
Yeah.
So.
But playing bad cop,
good cop, bad cop. Right.
Yeah, that's a standard. I mean, and that has been found to be useful in many. In many instances.
What about people, perhaps, who are not as strong-willed as yourself, sir? I mean, I think you have a lot of courage not to give away your colleagues who you knew whose lives would be in danger had you given their names. But clearly there are people who are more weak-minded than yourself. Some people might give up information if they're tortured, right?
I can understand that. I can understand that. I work with survivors of torture every day. In the office, that's part of my work. And we are, as individuals, we have different levels of tolerance for pain and for stress. And we can understand that. And I don't blame him. I don't blame her. I don't blame the person.
I
if the person breaks down.
I'll give you an example.
It's the torturers who should be blamed.
It's fascinating because, of course, the Republican nominee for President of the United States, Senator John McCain, who ran against Barack Obama, himself was tortured quite brutally by the Vietnamese. And in one case, and John McCain has written about this in detail in his books, so this is not something where I'm speculating. I know from the man himself. He was asked to sign a document that America was wrong or America was evil or a bad country. And he resisted many, many times, and they would break his bones. And finally, in one of his darkest moments, John McCain writes that he signed the document. The document didn't give any information. He didn't tell where American GIs were located. It simply said America is bad, and I think everyone understands that his signing the document didn't do anything. It simply made the pain stop for him.
Yeah.
And so he signed the document. And one of the things I think that teaches us, it's not to condemn John McCain. Certainly, I don't blame him at all. I think I would sign such a document. People would understand I don't mean it. Anything you say while under duress is not meaningful.